Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci, the Pimps, the Players, the Hustlers, the Podcasters, the people of Bust Up, and everybody else in between. Let's do this thing. We've got a freak show. We got Football Friday. And we've got the biggest Saturday of the year so far in the college football world. Although, whatever. We're going to pretty much say this every week or two right now. Because now we're in a conference play. The games are starting to matter. And not only conference play, but teams can't avoid. You can't play cupcakes every week, even though they'd like to. So, you know, Penn State don't have a choice. They can't play Nevada anymore. They can't play a team from the MAC. They've got to play the Oregon Ducks. We've got Alabama and Georgia. All kinds of, like, massive top 25 tilts. Ole Miss and LSU is interesting. And if I'm Lane Kiffin, like, you know, you got to win a big game eventually. And if I'm Lane Kiffin, like, it would really bother me in a sense. I get, like, I don't mind who my daughter dates and stuff, and it's okay, whatever. Like, Lane Kiffin's daughter is dating a player on LSU. Okay, fine, but you better beat them. Like, if I was a coach, like, it wouldn't sit well, very well, me to know that my daughter's sleeping with a kid on LSU, and I just lost to LSU as well. Like, that's just how I think. We got Rob Vino in the house with his Cam Stewart. Rob. You know, I understand Lane Kiffin's, you know, he's a modern type of coach, but my daughter, you know, I'd want to ruin this kid's weekend. It'd be just too much for me knowing that this kid is going to celebrate by sleeping with my daughter if they beat me. I better win this game if I'm Ole Miss, Rob.
Yeah, no, if that's the result, you better win this game. You're right. I mean, the reverse side of that is I hear people saying that Lane Kiffin sent her in there as a plant to wreck LSU's effort here on Saturday. So I don't know. You wouldn't put that past Lane Kiffin either. So great game, though. If we just get into the game itself, guys, I kind of like Mississippi in that game. For what it's worth, LSU, now that we see what we've seen, you wonder.
What's up with LSU's offense, Robin? How come it isn't better?
And it hasn't proven a thing yet with Nussmeier. The run game isn't what we thought it would be. Certainly the pass game is not what we thought it would be.
It's bizarre world because their defense is playing well, right? It's always been, well, if they got a defense, like I even remember during the Clemson game, I admitted. I said, well, damn, if Kelly's got a defense, he might actually win. Yet there's just something missing with this offense right now. I know Nussmeier's not 100%, but like you said, Rob, they can't get the ground game going. People were expecting Nussmeier to sling it all over the park for, like, you know, 350, 400 a week. He was the Heisman favorite. He's down to 16-1 right now. Like, the market has even responded and noticed.
Yeah, and, you know, when I went back to my week one notes against Clemson, Gabe, I'm glad you brought that up. I had noted at the time that the OL, you know, the two tackles are in the NFL, the two inside players are in the NFL. That offensive line got ravaged, and you were wondering if they could hold up against Clemson. Now you wonder how great that Clemson win was. Clemson sits at 1-3. LSU's entire schedule, now you kind of shake your head. I mean, they came back the next week and a huge, huge point spread favorite against La Tech, and they barely scored 23 points in that one. It hasn't been good for them. And I have to question how good their defense is at this point as well, because when you look at it, they haven't played a standout offense. So this will be certainly the test for them on both sides of the field, and it'll be the test for Ole Miss as well. I just happen to think that LSU can't go stride for stride for this team, whether stride for stride means 27-24, whether it means 31-28, 38, whatever it is. I just feel like Ole Miss is going to be a field goal better in the end, and maybe Trinidad Chambliss should have been the quarterback all along. I mean, they're blessed to have two very good quarterbacks, but when Simmons got hurt, you thought, oh boy, here comes the backup, and that hasn't been the case at all. The backup has been really, really good for Ole Miss.
We've been talking a lot about Rutgers and their games going over, and they went over again against the Iowa Hawkeyes. Now they go on the road and they play Minnesota. We got a total of 51. That game is at noon Eastern, and we got Notre Dame and Arkansas at noon Eastern as well. And, you know, when we see Arkansas, we play the over, right? I mean, they're just one of these teams. Arkansas playing close, wild football games. It was a close one last week, went 32-31 on the road against Memphis. They end up losing the game. Now they host Notre Dame. Massive game for Coach Pittman. He's always on the hot seat, but It's, you know, they lose a lot of close games. Yeah, but you got to win some of these games if you're Arkansas. They're getting 4.5, but we got a total of 64. And that Notre Dame defense isn't what people thought it was going to be this year up. What about those two totals, the Rutgers over 51 and Notre Dame over 64?
Yeah, as soon as Monday morning hit, Gabe, and I took a look at the numbers, I put like up arrows next to both of those games. I'll just start really fast with Rutgers, Minnesota. We saw last week Rutgers had Iowa on the ropes, and I remember we did talk about that game on the show. But their offense moved at will against Iowa. So you'd have to believe that they can move the football against PJ Fleck's team, but the defense, not very good. Fleck's team should score there too. So the number looked like it was in a spot that was attackable from an over perspective. The other game, as you mentioned, Notre Dame, and they give up 30 more to Purdue last week. I know they scored 56. Price was the big yardage guy out of the backfield last week. Not Love. That backfield is so good, and Arkansas doesn't stop anything. So it's hard to play these unders, Gabe, but I will say this real quick. What I'm finding the last 2 weeks, I'll tell you what I've seen in watching games where I bet over. 7 touchdowns 2 weeks ago called back because of holding penalties. Last week, 6 red zone trips inside the 15 turning into end zone interceptions, ruining touchdown or field goal scores. Sometimes when you get these price tags of 64, it only takes one of those mishaps to ruin it for you. And that's where it gets a little scary playing a number that high.
Indiana and Iowa's got a total of 48. Indiana's offense now, you know, obviously has dialed it up. They're starting to click. And Mendoza has become the Heisman favorite. But they go on the road. And Iowa's another one, Rob, in which people think of unders with the Iowa Hawkeyes. But they became an over team last year due to the, you know, just how low the numbers were. And, you know, I think this offense is a work in progress, but it is getting better. Right? People, you know, they bring in the quarterback and Gronowski. They're thinking, all right, this kid's a winner. You know, he's won championships before at the FCS level. It didn't click early, but you see why he's there. Like, you see the winner in him, in which he picks up a big first down when he has to. In clutch situations, he's been pretty good. Now they're getting 8 points on their home field. Can you trust, do you like Indiana enough, Rob? Do you trust this team enough? Are they good enough to go on the road and lay 8 to Iowa? This point spread surprised me.
Honestly, I think they are. I mean, I played Indiana already. I got 7.5 earlier this week. It is up to 8, as you mentioned. But from my perspective, Gabe, and I know, you know, it happens in our industry all the time where people get stuck on certain narratives. But you can't watch the Rutgers game against Iowa last week and then walk into this week saying, I'm playing the home dog because Iowa only allows 214 yards. Iowa's defense got slaughtered by Rutgers last week in perfect terms. They were nowhere to be found. 38-28 win. Indiana's going to move the football. There's no question. The concern would be, does Indiana have enough defense to stop Iowa? I would say yes. Iowa really the last 2 weeks have been against UMass and Rutgers, two pathetic defenses. To me, everything adds up here for Indiana. I think Cignetti's group is still a little bit underrated. And I really think, Gabe, when you look at this game, this is one of those home dogs, defensive home dog, that is just the standard of people in this industry to go out and play right away. Sports bettors, handicappers, whatever. Defensive home dog catching 8 points, got to go play it. It should be bet down to like 6.5 right now by standards, but it hasn't been. And I think that's because people are a little timid about Iowa here. I am as well. I think Indiana's the better side, probably wins by 10 plus.
One number that keeps climbing, not coming down as the game approaches, is Ohio State. Mm. You know, there were 7.5s, 8s. Now I'm seeing 8.5 starting to pop up. So there's a late push, the public push, we'll say, because the Sharps bet this stuff earlier in the week. So a public push right now on Ohio State. This is a big one, Cam, in Seattle. The Washington Huskies have won 22 straight home games. It is one of the toughest places to play. There's no disputing it. Like, you can take Cam Ward's word for it. Cam Ward played for the Miami Hurricanes last year, and they went to the Swamp in Gainesville, and they beat the Florida Gators. And Cam Ward said, "You know, I was told that SEC country is scary and it's so loud and." and the swamp this and the swamp that. And he said that was nothing compared to playing in Washington against the Washington Huskies. And Cam Ward said the loudest stadiums are in the Pac-12. He goes, this SEC stuff's way overrated. It's harder to play in Washington than it is in the SEC. It is a tricky place to play. It's super loud. The acoustics of that stadium somehow, like the water bounce, the sound bounces off the water, bounce back into the stadium type of deal. It is very chaotic, and even good teams seem to like fall apart, the false start penalties. But all that being stated, Rob and Cam, I think, you know what? I think Washington can cover the number here. I think they can. It's a big test for Ohio State going on the road. I think they can cover the number, but I think Ohio State's going to survive. I could see, like, you know, man, Washington, like, had a chance there. But and then OSU kind of in the fourth quarter score. Maybe they end up winning by 10. But I could see it kind of being like a 4 or 6 point game and Washington losing but covering. Total 51.5. What's your pick for this game, Rob?
You know, I didn't play the game because I could make a lot of counter arguments. You just made a bunch of them. But I think a couple of the reasons why you play Washington here. Well, I'd give you three. A, Julian Sayin on the road in his first real road game, true road test. And as you mentioned, just a difficult place to play. We saw it happen to Michigan when they went to Oklahoma with the first time quarterback on the road in a hostile environment. That point scored Washington.
Texas when they went to Ohio State. Now it's Ohio State's turn.
It's Ohio State's turn. And I would say that the other factor here is, you know, if you're going to pull these things off, you have to have the QB play. And Damond Williams Jr. is actually looking to be one of the better quarterbacks in the country right now. And hit the speed factor that he brings to the table, he's able to make plays that, you know, as great as Ohio State's defense is, and they were terrific against Texas, but Arch Manning didn't really pose the same type of home run threat that Williams possesses as a dual threat quarterback. So I think if you're arguing Washington, you got home field, you got a first time quarterback coming in, you've got the QB that can win it for you. And it's the second year of Jed Fish's offense, which they seem to be grasping. If you like the Ohio State side, you say, listen, we held Texas to 7. Nobody can move the football on us. And if Williams proves not to be a factor in this game, then Ohio State probably does win and covers, but I can make enough counter arguments to lay off the game. And I couldn't even find, I don't know if you did, Gabe or Kim, I couldn't even find a solid way to play the total here.
Yeah, the 51.5 is very tricky. It's tricky. Mm. Like you said, this game, it really, there's a lot of different scenarios for this game that could play out that wouldn't surprise us. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if it's like, damn, Ohio State really are that good. And they went in there and they beat them 31-10. Like, I really wouldn't be like, oh, I can't believe that happened. I know I wouldn't be surprised if it was, wow, what a classic game, man. It was 28-27 and it went over and it was super close. Like, you know, the problem is Washington do not have the players that Ohio State do, right? Like, just point blank. Like, Fish isn't there yet. He's got some players. Let's say, you know, Washington have 7 guys that, like, are top tier, like, really, really good. Ohio State have, like, 35 guys that are top tier. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's a there's a difference, and there's obviously a difference in talent. There's a difference in depth. But the home field is somewhat of an equalizer. Fish is a really good coach. They have a mobile quarterback. If you have a stationary quarterback, it changes things, right? He can get sacked and, all right, well, you didn't have time. You didn't protect them. Williams could take off. So, and Washington's defense, that's the thing. I don't know. Like, Washington haven't played anybody yet either, really. But Washington have looked the part on offense. They've handled their business. It is a tricky game. What's your pick, Cam?
I'm going to take Washington on FanDuel too, Gabe. We talk about these different lines with dogs. It's 9.5 for Washington. And Rob and you and Gabe love totals. Think about the difference. 52.5, a 28-24 game. You know what I mean? So it doesn't look like a lot, but this extra point and a half can be big. I love what Washington did in the fourth quarter against Washington State. It was a game they were sleepwalking through and then scored 28 unanswered points, and they did it at will. They looked very, very crisp in the fourth quarter. The key to this game, Gabe and Rob, you guys know, they score early on Ohio State. Things are going to get very, very good for the Dogs. If Ohio State comes out and punches them, it could be a long day for Washington. Give me the Washington Huskies plus 9.5, Gabe. I think they can play a real tight game and maybe at worst lose by a touchdown.
That's crazy that you're getting 9.5 right now with FanDuel. Like I said, people are taking Ohio State for the most part here, obviously. The public is jumping in on the Buckeyes. We talk a lot of overs, but Rob, this is what I had to bring up, and I feel bad because I did a hit in Florida this morning, and I wanted to bring this game up. They even asked me, any under-the-radar games, and I kind of
choked.
They didn't
come at you today, did they, Gabe? Were they nice at least at 6 o'clock in the morning? Hey, you want a croissant? Hey, how you doing, pal?
No, he can't. He can't because his big argument was the Patriots are going to be better than the Dolphins. They both suck, so he doesn't really have a lot to stand on.
Wooden leg, yeah.
I never told him the Dolphins were going to be good. I said they would be better than the Patriots. That's how the argument started.
Yeah.
He said, oh, no, they won't. They just lost and blah, blah. And I said, well, you'll see, like, in the end. But, Rob, we always know. Military academies team play against each other. It's an automatic under, even though the books have obviously adjusted for it. This is not a military academy matchup, but there's always a big B here. Rice. Rice run the option now, Rob. So we got a Rice option run team taking on Navy, total 45. And Rice run the option, they don't really do it that well, right? Let's be real. They're trying to do it. It looked good last week against Charlotte. Let's give them credit. They did. It started to click a little bit more. But you know what I'm saying, Rob, when you watch this team, like they're still, they don't have the players to do it, right? It's always tough, guys, like when you have recruits, like that happened with Michigan years ago. When they stupidly fired Lloyd Carr and Rich Rod came in, and there was a bunch of players that were like recruited to play in a pro set offense, not this sort of offense. So Rice, you're asking these kids to adapt to the system, and they're doing it, and it's helping them. They're winning games in this system. What do you think of this one? Getting 14 against Navy, total 45. Does Navy look at this and laugh and go, God, look at these guys and how bad they are trying to run our offense? Or is it a mirror image of each other? And can Rice's athletes hang with Navy, Rob?
You know, I like it over, Gabe. And I'll tell you why. Because Rice's form of this option, they call it gun option, right? And it's really modified. It's not true Navy, like you say, it's not true military academy.
You're right. They'll sling it more down the sideline. Yeah. You're right. They have play. They hit it down the sideline. Yeah.
And the QB can throw it a little bit. And I love when they run these options with a QB that can throw it and complete it. Not just throw it, but you have to complete it. And Horvath for Navy is sensational at quarterback. I think they lead the nation in rushing right now. So I think Navy's going to get theirs. I would worry more. I mean, and I know Rice has seen some form of option in practice every day, their version of gun option throughout the spring and summer. But now you're going to face Navy's option. I don't know that they're ready. I could see Navy going for 30 plus here and Rice getting to 20. I think this number is way too low, to tell you the truth. We always run into that old adage, well, Navy's going to run the ball. They're going to grind the clock. Game's going to be 27-17. But that's just not the case anymore with these. We see Army playing these 79-point games against North Texas. We see Air Force playing constant overs now, and the same with Navy. So I think 44.5, just by modern terms, too low of a total. I like it over.
Speaking of overs, Alabama-Georgia was a track meet last year. And this is something I remember, Rob, maybe like 5 years ago, you and I started talking about this. I caught on early, I know you did as well, because we've been talking about totals for a long time, that there was sort of a switch with the SEC. The SEC used to like have totals like the NFL. Like the SEC was sort of like the, you know, like the NFL conference per se. Like the, you know, the game sort of played the same way. The totals were 47.5 or 45.5 in that range. Remember, wasn't that long ago, guys? Remember the Alabama-LSU rivalry, Rob? 6-3 games and field goal kickers missing kicks, right? It was defense, man. Like the SEC was a lot of, you know, it was a lot of slugfest. Well, that's not the case anymore. The SEC, I remember telling you, Rob, but probably about, like I said, 5 years ago, I said, man, you notice in the SEC, you got to score like 48 points to win a game nowadays. Like that's the new SEC. Like Alabama, Georgia, you better score 40 points to win the game, and you might not win then. But you know what I mean? The LSUs, the Ole Misses of the world, the Arkansas's of the world. The SEC has become an over-conference, Rob.
Yeah, and if you just single out when the change happened, Gabe, and let's just
single
out.
With the exception of Kentucky, all right? They're slow. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because even Diego Pavia has brought Vanderbilt out of the doldrums, right? No more caveman style there. But if you just trace it back really quick, you can trace it back to, let's just isolate Nick Saban in Alabama, right? He didn't want to come out of the old SEC, didn't want to come out of it, but he saw these teams and these newfangled offenses and these dual threat quarterbacks that gave Bama all kinds of trouble. And then he went out and got himself an OC, and they started to do the same exact thing. And it's the quarterback play, the versatility of the quarterback play. It seems like every single one of these SEC defenses struggles when they have to face a mobile quarterback. Gunnar Stockton's not really it for the Georgia side. We really have yet to see what Ty Simpson is going to be as far as dual threat. But really, these are two passers more than they are runners. So the defenses might be able to get to these guys. Gabe, you said it before, stationary targets rather than guys who can run are a little bit easier for teams to defend. I've been on a bunch of shows this week, and a few guys make the case for this game going over rather easily, and I can understand it. I haven't played it yet. If I do play it, that would be the way I'd look. But I also think that the dog side might be the right way here with Alabama. Ryan Williams now back fully healthy. You know, he had a concussion opening day. Then he was not the same for a couple of games. But I think Bama and Kalen DeBoer maybe can get one here.
The loser of this game, especially DeBoer. DeBoer's going to be in trouble again if he loses, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he's really got to string it together. But Kirby Smart loses this game. Then the Georgia have lost it. They're not the same anymore. Like, it's not going to be a fun press conference for the loser of this game. That's where I'm going with this. Like, the loser of this game's coach is going to have to deal with a lot of angry people. And if James Franklin loses, so he gets another crack. James Franklin, there's a lot of talk about how he can't beat Ohio State and Michigan. He's 4-20, 4-20 against top 10 ranked teams. Hell, that's better than Matt Rhule in Nebraska, who were like 0-28 against top 25 teams. So at least Franklin's got that top, like he's got the 10 to 25 thing figured out. Now he's got to get over the top 10 hump here. What's your pick, Cam? Penn State at home. This is the game of the year for them. They got Ohio State too, but this is like they got it circled. It's a whiteout. It's like you're going to be a madhouse Saturday night, 7:30. Penn State are 3.5-point favorites against the Ducks. What's your pick, Kim?
I'm going to take Oregon in this spot. And I think, I know you could talk about West going east, but the Oregon Ducks, I just think, play at a different level and different speed. And Penn State's going to want to play this game in the trenches. But Oregon does everything well. I think Lanning's a very good coach. I like what they do. They take care of their business every week. People can look at that Northwestern game. That was a backdoor cover by the Wildcats. They can go in there. I don't think they're going to be intimidated. This is a huge program. I want the 3.5. And to Rob's point, I'm actually seeing 2.5 for Bama. I like both dogs, Gabe. I think Alabama can win outright. And I think Oregon, well, if they lose, it'll be by 3 or under. Give me the Ducks and give me the Crimson Tide.
I like Georgia and the over. But I am with you on the Oregon Ducks. Oregon getting to 3.5, Rob. There's no Tyler Warren. There's no Abdul Carter. Some people think that Penn State sort of played it vanilla in the non-conference games. And, oh, now you're going to see. I don't buy that. I don't think that they have some sort of hidden playbook that they're going to scare everybody with right now. They were loaded last year. And listen, Drew Aller, he's one of these guys. He looks the part. Like, he's almost Daniel Jones. Like, you know what I mean? Someone's going to fall in love with this guy in the NFL. Like, he's going to go to the combine. They're going to look at him. They're going to talk to him. And they're going to go, oh, this guy's our guy. I don't know if he's the guy, Rob. Right? He's got to sort of prove it that you can be talked about all the time. But at some point, like, I got to see a game where you throw 3-4 touchdown passes. Like, you know what I mean? And not just sort of bludgeon the other team because you guys are better than the other team. And I like the fact that Dante Moore is from Detroit. He's not like some West Coast kid and, oh, I'm going to Penn State for the first time and stuff. Man, the kid grew up playing high school football in Michigan. So I don't think he's going to be fazed, per se, by going to the Midwest here to take on Penn State. What's your opinion on the game, Rob?
Yeah, I'll tell you what I've been telling hosts of shows all week long, Gabe. You and Cam, the two of you guys, could loan me the money, and I wouldn't bet it on Penn State. So I'm on Oregon here. You can't. The two guys, and you guys have both mentioned them, the two guys involved here are Drew Aller and James Franklin, and they've not proven to be winners in this type of situation. I think what gets lost a lot, Gabe, among a lot of people, and sometimes I have to remind myself, is that Dan Lanning is an SEC guy who's actually put an SEC-type team out west now. He's had time to recruit to the offensive and defensive lines, to the depth, the way SEC teams recruit, the way he saw it done at Georgia. He's brought that to Oregon. They're not this meek little flimsy speed team. We can't bang with you. We can't open up.
No, you're right. Their defensive line bash you in the head. On the offensive line, in the trenches. You're right.
And that being said, I got a ton of respect for the Penn State backfield. Obviously, their backs are really good. But Aller still, to me, is inconsistent. And Dante Moore, you brought him up. He's been nothing but tremendous so far. So I know it's a cross-country trip. I know it's a whiteout. But I also know you're getting more than a field goal here. So I trust Lanning's team. I think they're probably better personnel-wise, as good as Penn State is. So we'll see, but I like Oregon.
One thing with the Ducks, too, good point that they're not the same sort of popcorn offense-type team that, okay, when they play a really, really physical team or they go on the road and bad weather are going to blow up. Like Rob said, for Dan Lanning was an assistant at Georgia. And listen, Alabama wanted Dan Lanning before they wanted Kalen DeBoer. Dan Lanning was their first choice. He is that highly respected. In fact, I think Dan Lanning could coach in the NFL, actually. Because he's still young enough that he could adapt, but he's a college guy, and I get it. But I do think that he's a good – because a lot of big-time college coaches, they can't coach in the NFL, right? It's not going to work. It's just – they're sort of dictators. They get to run everything. They control everything. It's, you know, they're playing inferior competition, et cetera. They're raw, raw guys. And they're not good X and O guys. There's a lot of coaches that are legends, but they're not good X and O guys. Lanning could be an NFL coach because he's an X and O guy. Like, he actually can really scheme defense. Like, he's brought a defense to the Ducks. And one thing we've seen, Rob, with the Ducks, too, over the years, the last few years, not just with Lanning, but just their culture of them getting tougher, they've gone into Columbus and beaten Ohio State. They've gone into Michigan. Like, they've gone, like, on the road. Like, you know, we see these other teams have had a hard time adjusting to the Big Ten. The Ducks have not. They went 15-0 last year. like they've gone into Big Ten country and beaten Big Ten teams. Oh, you want to run? You think you're tough? Oh, you think we're from Oregon and we're soft because we got Ducks and we're looking at our uniforms? Okay. And then you get beat up by them in the trenches, and you're like, damn. Like, so good point by Rob. They have brought an SEC mentality to the Big Ten. We'll wrap up the college talk, Rob, with my adopted team after Michigan. Our Missouri Tigers, Rob, rolling along, baby. Gunning for that over 6.5. They've handled their business. So here we are right now. We get one last cupcake. They're laying 44.5 against UMass. Then they get a bye week, and then it gets real. Auburn, Alabama, back-to-back, Rob, for the Missouri Tigers.
Yeah, and a couple of things here, Gabe, because I didn't mention it in that last game, but you are the beneficiary of James Franklin's, I don't know, I don't want to say he's a bad talent evaluator because he's got great talent, but he chose Drew Aller over Bo Prabula. I mean, are we kidding ourselves here? The kid has been tremendous for Mizzou. You know, today I would have worn my 3/4 zip Mizzou. But the one time I wore it, Cam's like, "Oh, Vino, you're wearing the tracksuit today," so I won't wear it.
I love it.
But Mizzou is, I tell you what, they're right up there in the upper tier. I don't know what they'll do against UMass, Gabe, honestly. It's a good game for Drinkwitz to play the first half, get the second, third team.
I'm not sure they cover. I think
you may need those guys down the road.
This could be a first quarter play. Like, look for Mizzou to get up 14-0.
Get in, get out.
Yeah, this is the one. I don't believe in look-aheads, guys, because the kids don't know the schedule and all that. But in this instance, they do. They know. Like, everybody knows. Look, they haven't left their stadium yet this year. So they know. This is our last home game. It's UMass. And then it gets real. You can't get anybody hurt, Rob, this next 2 weeks. Because Missouri don't even need to go undefeated, right? They don't need to go undefeated. I bet them, Rob, last week to make the playoffs at plus 400 before kickoff. It came down to plus 320 right now. I think they got a legitimate shot of making the playoffs, this Missouri team. If they beat Auburn on the road, then it gets real, real. I can accept them losing Auburn on the road because they go back home and then they get Alabama. right? So you lose at home, you lose on the road to Auburn, fine. You'll drop in the rankings a little bit, but you spin around and then you beat Alabama, you're right back in the mix, Rob.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, and I think they're good enough to do so, Gabe. I mean, again, I'll just wrap it up really fast. It's the difference in the SEC and for coaches like Eli Drinkwitz, who came into a place like Missouri that wasn't accepted by the SEC, is you have to build the offensive and defensive line depth, and you watch that defensive line. I mean, that team is a Trotter, especially on that defensive side. They're very, very good. They're very strong and physical. So I like what I see out of Mizzou right now. And the running back, Hardy, is like an absolute bowling ball, sort of reminiscent of Ashton Jeanty without the true speed.
All right, one last college game, and we'll do some quick NFL. We'll get you out of here. Rob, whenever you got to go, you got to go. Rob's got tapings as well. But just when you brought that up, because the USC Trojans talked about that, and they said, you know, we knew it was going to be a challenge in the Big Ten. And they said, you know, the first 2 years here, we had guys that could compete on the line, but we didn't have enough of them. Like you just said, Rob, like they said, you know, honestly, in the Pac-12, we were getting away with having 3-4 guys. In the Big Ten, you need like 8-10 guys. They said, like, the rotation is just like fierce in the Big Ten. And you see, they put their money where their mouth was. They went out and they got the Walker kid from Kentucky, the big 340-pounder. Like, they have spent money on defense, not just on the coaching staff. They are getting deeper in the trenches. And, oh, yeah, the USC offense is another Lincoln Riley offense. I think Jordan Maiva is actually a sleeper for the Heisman at 20-1. You look at the schedule that they play, USC, it gets real right now. They get Illinois, and then they get Michigan, and then they get Notre Dame. Like, you want a Heisman platform, kid? Here you go. And – you know, I'm a Michigan fan, but I'm worried about that game. Like, that's going to be – Michigan are not going to be able to just slug it out. Like, we're going to have to score points in this game to beat the USC Trojans. Game is sold out. Congratulations to a Michigan fan for selling it out. I don't think USC has sold out a game in, like, 15 years. And this game's already sold out because the Michigan Wolverines are going there. Michigan's got Wisconsin as their tune-up before the big USC game, but – what about USC-Illinois, Rob? I was surprised to see USC this big of a favorite on the road, actually, as much as I do like this team.
Yeah, I think it's a product of last week's result, right, Gabe? I mean, you lose 63 to whatever to Indiana, and now even guys like myself questioning the Illinois defense, they just got – Mendoza did whatever he wanted. The question mark for me with USC is this is a noon Eastern start, right? So it's 9 a.m. for the Trojans, if they're slow out of the gate, because I wanted to bet over right away in this one.
Don't forget, they played the last game of the week last week. They started at 11 o'clock Eastern, right? Exactly. Lincoln Riley brought it up. He goes, listen, I'm not going to complain. There's nothing I can do about it. But he goes, it is a little ridiculous that we played the last game and now we're playing the first game. Like, he had a point.
Yeah, no, he's definitely got a point. And I had that total in the Michigan State game. I had it big, so I had to, you know, on the East Coast, you got to stay up till. Lucky for me, they got it done by three quarters so I could get some rest. But
that game went to about 2:30 in the morning Eastern. I was up because I was laughing at you guys on the East Coast. I was like, man, I said, God bless Big Ten. I posted, I said, Bo Schembechler and Woody Hayes rolling in their grave. Big Ten football at 3 a.m. on Saturday night.
Crazy. But it paid. It got us our tickets cashed, so it was worth it. Obviously, you know what, Gabe? Real quick, I'm still not sold on the USC defense. Now, they're really, really good at pressuring quarterback. I think they have like 16 quarterback sacks, one of the tops in the nation. But aside from that, Michigan State found holes in that defense. And I wouldn't be surprised if Altmaier and Illinois find a few too. So I'm still leaning toward over in that game. Like I say, the only concern is the time zone difference here for them.
NFL football, Rob. Anything catch your eye this week? I find it to be kind of a tricky card. I did pull the trigger. I kind of like what I like this week, but it's not like a ton of these games jumped off the screen at me. Like Minnesota-Pittsburgh is a tough one in Dublin, Ireland. Panthers and Patriots really doesn't intrigue me very much. The Lions and Browns is tough. Do you really want to lay 10 in this spot? It's a lot of points to lay. Jackson Dart makes his debut. And as insane as it sounds, I'm almost like buying into the Giants plus 6.5 with Jackson Dart against the Chargers. I can see the Chargers winning that game by 3. Bills are 15.5 point favorites. Rob's not an Eagle fan, but he's in Philly. And they're 3.5 point favorites on the road against Tampa. No Mike Evans, but It's almost like on a weekly basis, I'm just waiting for the Eagles to lose. I was on the Rams last week. I thought the Rams were going to beat them. Obviously, it was the bad beat of the year so far. That's an intriguing game. Anything catch your eye, Rob, in a National Football League?
Yeah, I'll give you the three I like real quick, Gabe, and then I'll exit out of here to go meet this Wager Talk commitment. But real quickly, I think that Minnesota with Jordan Addison back, the team total is 20.5. Pittsburgh's pass defense has been miserable. Carson Wentz or not, I think they're going to get the 21 against Pittsburgh in Ireland. So I like the Minnesota team total with the added offensive weapon. And, of course, Christian Darrisaw back at tackle. I think the top play I have this weekend, you know, has got to be it's fade the Cincinnati defense until further notice. Denver's come under a little bit
I
of
love
heat.
Love you, Rob.
The
That's
last
my game.
Couple of weeks. Yeah, the last couple of weeks, they've come under some heat because, you know, Sean Payton talks a big game. Bo Nix is this great draft pick and whatnot. And they've been garbage offensively, but they have a habit since the start of last year beating up or bullying bad defensive teams. They did it to Cincinnati last year. Denver's team total is 26.5. They should soar over that, and Payton will be off the hook for an extra week. And there was, oh, and I think the Carolina-New England game, Gabe, for full game total, gets over in this case. I know a lot of people are leery. Well, Carolina just won 30-0. They're going to have a letdown spot. Not sure that I agree. The Patriots' pass defense has still been very, very bad. Bryce Young and company can get their share, I think, and New England should do some damage against them. So 43, I think I was betting the number more than anything else there, assuming that this ends up in a 24-20, 27-17 type of game. 44 gets me paid.
We got the Toronto Argonauts and the BC Lions as a nightcap tonight in the CFL. Point spread was 10 earlier in the week, down to 7.5. Arbuckle is back, total 57.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
At McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
No reason. I mean, you're not playing the under in this game, so, but I guess you could say, well, I don't want to play 57, but I'm assuming you will play the 57, Rob. How do we not take the over in the Argos Lions tonight? And team total, BC Lions, which has just been a consistent. Dude, last week, guys, in a BC Lion game, I posted it too. They're remember we talked about it? Their point total was 23.5, 24.5 was a joke. And I bet over 30.5 at plus 250, and it cashed. Like, they were actually giving us plus 250 on the alt line with the BC team total. Tonight, they're not playing around. I see Bet365 has over under 30.5 at minus 170 to the over.
Wow.
And it jumps all the way to 34.5 plus 125. Over 39.5 is plus 300. And then you get the Argos. Their team total is 23.5 minus 130. I don't see any reason why there's not points on the board tonight, Rob.
Nah, I got over 56, Gabe, as soon as they announced Arbuckle. So I got a little bit better than 57. But I'll just leave you with this. 11 of the last 13 games these two teams have played this season, right? So for Toronto, it's 6 of their last 7 have totaled 60 or more. For BC, it's 5 of their last 6 have totaled 60 or more. So until it gets to 60, I'm not really afraid. I would play over.
Rob Vino, wagertalk.com. Rob Vino Sports on X. Always a pleasure, Rob. Always enjoy the Football Friday conversation with you. Thanks for the time, Rob.
Guys, thanks for having me. Have a good weekend.
You too. Rob Vino with us.
I think BC game kills them tonight, Gabe. It's a revenge spot, too. When the Argos murdered them at BMO, BC is going to run these guys out of the stadium. I think they might win this game by 20.
You do. I don't. Yep. I don't trust BC as a favorite, Kim.
I understand. No, I totally.
Their
get
defense
your vibe.
Isn't good enough to. Yeah. Their defense just isn't good enough for me to trust them to like blow teams out. They score.
Like points.
They score. Right. I like BC on the teaser now. Could BC need this game tonight? It's a must-win game for the BC Lions, and it's a must-win game for the Argos. The Argos are really up against it right now. Like, the Argos lose tonight, they're pretty much, like, eliminated. They're not, man, you know, they're not mathematically eliminated yet, but they kind of will be. There's only 3 games left. They're running out of racetrack. So, like, they need to be, and BC's ahead of them. So, this is a must-season eliminator for the Argos, Cam. So, that's my deal, that they're all in on this game. Like, the Argos lose this game, their playoff is their chances are done. They win this game, they're still probably not going to make it. They would need BC to collapse still more, but it starts tonight. So that's my concern, that the Argos are going to score points, that they're going to take risks, they'll go for it, that they're just sort of going to be all in. But I do like the over a lot in this football game. All right, NFL football. Cam, what are you doing this week in the National Football League? What did you come up with for your contest picks? What are your top bets?
I used Seattle. We sent them in early to Andy Isco. I was happy early, and I was watching the game with Lisa, and she said, like, my face went purple when Arizona tied it up. But that missed kick by Ryland at the end where Seattle started at the 40, I'm like, how is this game even close? Like, Seattle played pretty good in that game, but that's why you got to put your foot on people's throats. So that started off well. Gabe, I'm with Vino, and I know Denver's been a train wreck this year, but I love them in the spot against Cincinnati. I know it's 7.5. I think they absolutely murder them. I see Denver's defense really stepping up in this game. Another game that's kind of off the radar that I like, I'm not sure if people are going to like it. I like the Raiders to bounce back. Everyone's thinking, oh yeah, the Bears, they play well against Dallas. I really don't care. I think the Raiders can handle the Bears this week. It's kind of one of my trash bin games, but I like them to beat Chicago. Love Denver, and I had Seattle last night. Gabe, and we hit that the under too by a half point with your teaser to under 50.5. So everything worked out barely, but hey, wins are wins. That's all that matters.
Yeah, that was a wild ending last night in the Seattle-Arizona game. Pretty crazy that the total was 43.5 and they end up landing on 43. Yeah. Minnesota and Pittsburgh. I don't really want to pick a winner here on this game. Yeah, I kind of lean Pittsburgh. I just think Minnesota kind of, you know, will be one of these teams where one week they look good or next week they don't. But I thought Rob raised a good point as far as Pittsburgh's defense. Pittsburgh's defense is not very good this year.
Nope.
They're not stopping teams, and getting Jordan Addison back is going to be massive for the Minnesota Vikings. Like, you know, they had weapons, but remember they lost Aaron Jones. Teams are double covering Jefferson. Bringing Jordan Addison back after his 3-game suspension is really going to open things up for them. But with that being stated, I know Minnesota's defense is kind of good, but I still think Pittsburgh could score on them. You know, when push comes to shove, I can see Aaron Rodgers imploding and throwing like a pick six or something like that. So if I had to pick a side, I guess I would take Minnesota. But for me, guys, 41's too light. I don't really understand this total. I mean, I think people think because games are in Dublin or something that automatically, like, it's going to, you know, with all the bad fields. Their fields are better than American fields are. Like, soccer fields are much better grass than these crap-ass, like, field turf crap that's in NFL stadiums. Right, it's just they're not, but the thing is, these fields are not made for big 340-pound dudes to be like tearing them up all day, right? But the weather, whatever, you know, people, oh, the weather in Dublin. They're coming from Pittsburgh and Minnesota. Is Dublin weather's nicer there? Like,
people make too much of that stuff in those international games. Overreact. It's like relax,
it's low hanging fruit. They think that it's going to be raining, right? Like, all right, maybe. But so, anyways, I think the total is too light at 41.
I agree.
I like the over 41 in the Minnesota-Pittsburgh game. Give me the New York Giants plus 6.5 against the Chargers. As crazy as it sounds, because I always tell people and preach to people, don't bet on the Giants at home. They're a terrible home team. They're good on the road as an underdog only. But they're getting 6.5 in this spot. And I do think that Jackson Dart, look, the Giants defense is good. We saw, like, they terrorized Patrick Mahomes. The Chargers, Harbaugh's a conservative coach, man. Like, Harbaugh doesn't care about point spreads. He just cares about winning. They won by 3 last week. I can see the Chargers going on the road and grinding out a 3-point win, 4-point win, you know, last-minute field goal or whatnot. But I think I could see Harbaugh and the Chargers having their hands full with this game. Russell Wilson is just that bad now for whatever reason, right? And Dart, you know, if he doesn't turn the ball over, if they really sort of play it safe with Dart, quick hits, let him run. That's the thing with Jackson Dart. He's a very mobile quarterback. He can pick up first downs with his legs. He can do things that Wilson can't do. I think it gives him a puncher's chance in this game. Give me the New York Football Giants plus the 6.5. You've been worried about the Buffalo Bills, guys. I think the Bills first half, the Bills play up or down to the level of their competition. The Bills are 0-8 the last 8 games against the spread when they've laid 10 or more at home. They're not good. Look, they didn't cover against the Dolphins. The Bills are not good double-digit favorites. The Bills do take the pedal off the metal. They don't play 60 minutes. I think the game's going to go over 48 because I could see the Saints scoring a bit. You know, maybe it's like 40 to 17 or something like that in the end, but I'm not in love with the Bills at 15 and a half. I know Mike Evans is out and the Bucs have some injuries, but I, you know, it's almost like a weekly basis. I'm going to bet against the Eagles now, like on the money line. They're going to lose soon. Like they should have lost, could have lost. They're not
they
that
be,
good.
They could be 0-3 game. Take a look at how they won these games. Like ridiculous. Start that. First of all, crazy block kick against the Rams. If Kelsey catches a ball there in the first week, the Dallas Cowboys, CD Lamb drop balls. This team could literally be 0-3. Take a look at the tape. It's fact. It's unbelievable.
Their offense is really struggling.
Yeah.
That's their problem. The Philadelphia Eagle passing attack is non-existent this year. They're getting breaks, turnovers, their little brotherly shove, tush-push keeps working for them. They're dodging bullets, like they really are. They've got that championship aura about them where, like, you know, I mean, Kansas City had that, like when they blocked the field goal against Denver. Like sometimes just like, yeah, it's almost impossible. We're not going to lose. Something will happen and we're going to win, but it's going to catch up to them eventually. But either way, give me the Tampa Bay Buccaneers plus the 3.5 points in that football game. Speaking of the Chiefs, must-win game for the Ravens and the Chiefs. The loser of the game is going to be 1-3 and going to be in a lot of trouble moving forward. KC will be in bigger trouble because Baltimore's division isn't very good right now, surprisingly. So Baltimore could lose and whatever. They just got to beat Pittsburgh out, and they'll get into the playoffs. But KC's got issues because the Chargers are good. I don't know if the Broncos are good. I guess we're going to find out. But give me the Baltimore Ravens to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll take it on the money line. It's -2.5. I'd rather do the money line, and we'll worry about Monday on Monday, although I do lean with the Dolphins to beat the Jets. So, yeah, our best bets, the Minnesota Vikings, Pittsburgh Steelers over 41, New York Giants +6.5. We'll buy a half point. We'll make it 7. Give me the Tampa Bay Buccaneers plus the points against the Philadelphia Eagles, the Baltimore Ravens to beat the Kansas City Chiefs, and Sunday Night Football. I don't love laying points like this on the road, but Dallas are in trouble here. Green Bay coming off the loss. Green Bay are going to put points up on the board. Dallas can't stop anybody. Like their pass rush is terrible. Their secondary is terrible. Like everything about their defense is bad, and Green Bay's going to be able to exploit it. The total's 47. I think that's far too late because Dallas should be able to score a bit on Green Bay, even without CeeDee Lamb. And, oh, yeah, CeeDee Lamb's not playing. But look for the Packers to roll the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday Night Football. All right. Any final thoughts, Cam? Major League Baseball going into the final weekend of play. And, of course, the Ryder Cup has begun.
Crazy stuff, Gabe. Just with the Blue Jays finally getting that win. But the Yankees keep on winning. They were down against the White Sox. They find a way. Blue Jays, they hold the tiebreaker. So we got 3 games left, Gabe. What's going to happen here? Big difference between wild card and divisional series there. So huge series for both teams right now. And in the Ryder Cup, by time of taping, Europe's up 3-1 after the first session. And remember, we took them in to win the first session and the first day. Hopefully things work out. And one surprising thought early, Scottie Scheffler's actually playing really, really poorly right now, not hitting the ball well, but that can change. But very good start for Europe, Gabe. But you know, this thing's a lot of golf left. Anything could happen.
Remember what I said yesterday, Cam. Europe in a rout.
Yeah, I hope so, because I bet them in these other matches too and got both for day. Like if they, I've already won the first session. If they win today and go up, that's 2 right there. And maybe they do win on the alternate spread. If they actually win and go 3 up again and go like basically 6-2 after 8 points, the USA will be in big trouble, because I'm not sure if they have the horses to come back in the
They always get beat early, the U.S. Yeah, they always need a frantic comeback on Saturday.
Gabe, I'm telling you, the best bet in Ryder Cup, that like it's like you talk about like certain overs. It's the first session Europe. Do it like every time. It's +140. Like, I wish I had more money. I'm just like, oh, yeah, I'll put it on this. And you know, you're right. It always wins. The problem is with Europe, they usually get really nervous in the singles. But if they grow a big enough lead, this should be, they could actually win by alternate line. But a lot of golf left. So far, so good.
All right. We'll catch you guys with Cam Saturday.
Yeah.
Saturday at noon.
What a day.
Oof. Saturday at noon. Yeah, big college football day. You know, there's games all throughout the day, but we've got a couple of good ones at noon Eastern while we're on live, including Notre Dame and Arkansas, USC and Illinois, So, yeah, we've got some cool games at noon. Cincinnati and Kansas. Kansas are always a fun team to watch. Their quarterback's a lot of fun to watch. Play Duke and Syracuse is a noon game. Georgia Tech, Wake Forest is a new game. You know what a noon game is, actually, flying under the radar? Louisville and Pittsburgh. That's going to be a good one.
Louisville
are 3.5-point favorites. I'm a big fan of this Louisville team. You know, I don't think they're not going to make the playoffs. I think Miami are the best team in the ACC by far. But Louisville are good. They're a dangerous team. This is, you know, but I don't know if they should be 3.5-point favorites on the road at Pitt. But we'll have our picks in the morning for that. UCF and Kansas State. Like I said, though, USC Illinois is at noon. Notre Dame and Arkansas is at noon Eastern. So those will sort of be the showcase showdown games for us when we're on live. Then the 3:30 slate. You got Auburn, Texas A&M, Indiana and Iowa, LSU and Ole Miss, Ohio State and Washington. That's a great slate there. And then Saturday night, you've got, of course, Georgia and Alabama and Penn State and the Ducks at 7:30 Eastern. So college football fans going to be glued to their screens all day on Saturday. I've actually got a dinner that I'm supposed to go to on Saturday night, of all nights, too.
Sorry, I see you guys that I'm going to pass on dinner.
You know what,
well,
though, Cam? I've got a I've had a vicious toothache all week.
I should
just go to the dentist, but it's one of those deals. I hope it's going away. And it sort of is going away a bit, but it's still there, and I know it.
So when you drink cold water, it's just like lightning bolts down there.
No,
right?
not so much that, but I got some sort of nerve ending. Yeah. I know, like, trust me, I know. I'm going to have to go get this tooth ripped out, like, just point blank.
Yeah.
But it's been pretty bad. Like, the other night, I was getting dizzy. I was like, oh, God, I'm in real pain.
Sucks.
I've just been popping these Advil Extra Strengths all week, and they've actually been helping. It's a little bit better now, but it might be my excuse on the way out here. Because the other thing is, too, like, it's a dinner at the Keg.
Oh, you don't want to be eating meat with a bad tooth.
That's the other thing, Cam. I don't really feel like spending $250 go out and eat and not really enjoy it because I got a sore tooth. So I might tap out.
I appreciate your gift for Lisa for her birthday at the Keg, but you're right. Like, if you have a toothache, that's the last place you want to go is be biting into really good meat.
Week, Cam, I was getting hungry because I didn't eat. Yeah. Like, it got to the point where it was like I was eating soup only and stuff.
Yeah,
I was like, I gotta eat soup. Something. But, like, last night I ate a pizza, but I'm chewing on the one side of my mouth only. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I got to go to the dentist, Cam. But I'm just sort of, no one likes going to the dentist.
Oh, no one likes going to the doctor, the dentist.
So it's one of those, all right, it'll go away. Maybe it's just, it'll go away. And, like, it's like, no, it's not. Like,
you know what? You got football. We got football on Saturday. We got football on Sunday.
That's another
thing. But the thing about the dentist is he's a Monday, Tuesday guy. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, I'll see you. Like, I don't want any dental work done.
No, but that's another thing too, Cam. In the old days, our network, whatever, Sports Grid didn't care. Like, it was funner and looser. Yeah. And I remember once I went to the dentist, like, it was years ago. And same thing, I had a tooth thing and I had to get it ripped out. And I came back and I did the show like 2 hours later.
I remember.
And I had like blood dripping out of my mouth, a shot, like a gauze. I was like, oh, yeah, I was cleaning up the whole show.
Hey, guys,
like, I was sort of mumbling and I was on the air. And like, now, like, whatever, if you got a pimple on your face, oh, no, like, you know what I mean? Like,
Trust me, I know. I'm on blood thinners.
So I was thinking, I'm like, man, I got to ruin my weekend. That's what I thought. I was like, man. Yeah. The only time I really going to do this, I guess I got to go Saturday afternoon and get my tooth ripped out and then let it bleed all day at home and I'll be all right by Sunday night.
You can't do that. You're going to miss the 3:30. You got to hold off to Monday if you can. If the pain's not there, that's the day. You can't miss football. Look how good that middle session in the night game with Penn State.
I won't be that long. I'll be at the dentist for like an hour or something. I'll come home and I'll watch the games, but my tooth all busted up. But
it's right to sit on the couch. And
it sucks. I'm not happy about this, but whatever.
Yep.
It could be worse. Like you said, as we saw, poor Dave Sharapan had like real health issues. You get older, stuff's going to happen. But that's the thing. As you get older, it's not like you're any more excited about going to a doctor or a dentist. Not like, when you're older, I'll accept it more. No, you're like, it's even worse because when you're older, things could go worse here. It'd be bad.
When the doctor's office calls and say, hey, Cam, you have elevated things in your liver. It's never this. You're doing great, pal.
Don't worry
about it. You know what I mean? It's like, come see me. And I don't like that. Of course it gets worse when you get close.
All we could do is take it hour by hour.
You're right. We're day by day, hour by hour.
I'm not having a good week. I'll put it that way.
I get it.
Been a lot of like just thing. It's one of those things that I hate to say it because I don't want to have a self-fulfilling prophecy, Cam, but I hate this time of the year that's coming up, man. October is always bad. Bad betting, bad business,
bad mojo.
Pretty much if I look at my life and my career and everything, October is a big part of it all the time.
It's true.
And it's almost like I feel it coming. It's my own biorhythm. I don't like October. I don't like November. I don't like, and it's funny because I love the World Series and I love like, there's a lot of things, but like, it's like I'm fighting like the biorhythm stuff. I'm fighting against gravity at this time of the year almost. Biorhythm stuff is real. There's a reason why, you know, fighters like won't fight at certain months of the year because they know. Like, you know what I mean? There's certain months of the year, guys, like it's just, it's almost like a chemical imbalance in our bodies. Some people like it, some people don't, and it throws you off. And like, I know myself personally, like I almost shouldn't talk to anybody because it's like I put myself in bubble wrap and not talk to anybody. Yeah,
exactly. Just
until like Christmas or something, because I'll end up in arguments or like something like
that.
I'm just stating, I don't like October, and October's coming. So, and I thought of that, Cam. I'm like, yeah, of course, now the pain's kicking in. October's around the corner. I've got a bad tooth.
October blows.
Here we go. But hey, we'll try to pick some winners tonight and tomorrow. Baseball playoffs next week, so it is a fun time of the year. I'm just a big bitch. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.